I'm Brian Wilson. We are very happy to be joined by Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch this morning, filling in as our guest host. Tom, thanks again for being here.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you, Brian.
Joining us on the line, Emily Gooden, managing editor of Real Clear Politics. Thought we'd call on her to get a read on how things are going with all of these confirmation battles that are pending, both in the cabinet and also when it comes to the Supreme Court and Neil Gorsuch, who's been chosen by President Trump to be the next fill the next seat on the Supreme Court, that one held by Antonin Scalia. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, the Senate, your United States Senate, is up early and Adam this morning. They're actually in session as we speak, which is a rare thing. And they're trying to resolve Betsy DeVos. Can you give me a little rundown of where we are on that right now? Do you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. So right now, they're voting on a procedure what's called advancing the nomination to the final confirmation vote. It just needs a simple majority. And she's going to get that. It's the confirmation vote, which will happen Monday or Tuesday, that's going to be close. Right now, the count's at 50-50, which means Vice President Pence will have to break the tie. And it's because two Republican senators, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, have said they're not going to vote for her for confirmation.
And there's a weird little thing going on there in that they want to get this one out of the way first, because once Jeff Sessions becomes confirmed as the Attorney General, he can no longer vote in the Senate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's one of the little quirks. But the second they vote yes on his confirmation, he's out. He's got to pack up his bags and go, and they need him to vote on her. So the reason they're holding this vote so early this morning is that the Senate actually requires 30 hours between advancing someone to a final vote and the final vote. So they're basically running out the clock over the weekend.
All right. Her. And so just real very quickly, the other confirmation cabinet positions, where do they stand?
It looks like they're all going to pass. She's really been the only one in question, and she didn't have a good confirmation hearing. A lot of Republican senators who represent rural states are concerned about her stance on school choice. She's always been the most controversial, but the others look like they should pass.
Well, the DeVos nomination in some ways shows this power of the teachers unions, even with some Republican senators. Emily, what about the Supreme Court nomination of Judge Gorsuch? We were talking earlier. It seems to me that Democrats are between a rock and a hard place here, between their base and their prior positions. Many of these key senators previously voted for Gorsuch without any objection. And obviously, we had a presidential election at which over which the Supreme Court and its future was a major issue for many voters. And the Democrats lost that argument, it's fair to say. What do you see happening there in terms of a filibuster? Is it going to be sustainable? They may want to and exercise it. Will it be sustainable over time and prevent an up or down vote?
I don't think it'll be sustainable over time, but you're going to see them make an all-out effort. And the name you're going to hear over and over again as we go forward on this is Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland, Merrick Garland. They're going to point out that Republican senators wouldn't even meet with President Obama's nominee. A lot of them wouldn't meet with him, that he didn't get his hearings. And you're right, there's a lot of pressure from the Democratic base for these Democratic senators to treat Judge Gorsuch like Republicans treated Judge Garland. And the base is really going to push their lawmakers to do that.
With all due respect to Judge Garland, and he's an appellate court judge here in the District of Columbia, the Supreme Court nominee for President Obama that was enacted upon by the Senate last year, who knows his name in the hinterlands?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to me a losing political argument. And that's not crocodile tears. It just doesn't seem like a winning argument.
I mean, after all, that sort of was what the election, what part of the election was about. So, I mean, if there's not going to be a battle here, do you think that they have come to the conclusion, or are they slowly coming to the conclusion, that if we throw down the gauntlet here and throw everything we have and we force Mitch McConnell to invoke the nuclear option, that's going to kill us if there's another nomination down the pike?
Well, also keep in mind, Democrats kind of shot themselves in the foot when it comes to these nominations, particularly for the cabinet, because they're actually the ones that changed the rules to get President Obama's nominees through. They're the ones that made it a simple majority of 51 votes. Now, Supreme Court nominees still requires the three-fourths majority unless they change that. But you're going to hear Republicans say, hey, Democrats, you were the ones who changed the rules in the first place.
Yeah, and do you see that the nuclear option coming into play here, or will the Democrats, ultimately allow an up or down vote and allow this to go forward?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think right now it's too early to tell. You know, Senator Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein of California, who's the top Democrat on the Judiciary Committee, she hasn't even met with Judge Gorsuch yet. She's going to next week. So I think that's going to become clearer over the next few weeks.
You know, there's an interesting wrinkle to this. You know, for a nomination under the Senate rules, which is just one question, the rules allow senators to make two speeches and two speeches only. And once you make your two speeches and the Senate's finished talking, you move to the nominee and you move to the vote. I think this could proceed without even the filibuster being invoked or applied because of this unique Senate rule that limits the debate on one question to two speeches per senator. 3 weeks of debate, it's over.
Yeah, ultimately. I'm curious about getting back to Betsy DeVos for a moment. Mm-hmm. I have heard it said that this may be the first time that a vice president has been required to break a tie on a cabinet official.
Yes, I've seen historians say the same thing, that this will be the first time in history a vice president will have to break a tie on a cabinet official. And it just shows how controversial she is. I was watching the C-SPAN this morning before I came on, and Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, got up and pleaded with lawmakers to take the weekend to consider whether or not she should be confirmed. He called her the worst nominee in cabinet history. That's really strong words. So I think you're going to see a lot of lobbying over the weekend. But, you know, Dean Heller, the Republican from Nevada, who a lot of people were hoping would vote against her, has said he'll support her. The same with Senator Deb Fischer from Nebraska. She said she's going to support her. So it looks like Republicans have the votes locked up.
All right.
And prior cabinet nominees have failed. They've had their names withdrawn.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's going to be a tie vote broken by the vice president isn't big news. It may be historic, but usually a cabinet nominee where it's a close-run thing, they're not put forward in the
end. I'll give you something else that's historic.
Right.
Apparently the Senate has never come in this early before, ever.
Well, the health care vote, and I think it was 2009 on Christmas Eve, they came in at like 7 a.m.
Right.
So this was close, but yeah, they tend not to like their early morning.
Well,
early
there's a fundraiser over the weekend. They got to get out of town.
That's right. Well, listen, thank you so much, Emily Gooden. Good to have you here, managing editor of Real Clear Politics. Greatly appreciate it.